Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
This Wednesday afternoon, hey, wherever you are, I hope that sun is shining, because by crikey, we need to see a little bit more of that sunshine. But hey, if life's still a little bit chaotic and you just kind of need to take some time out, well, do so. Take 25, pour yourself a cuppa, put your feet up and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM.
Running from the bullet, the bullet.
Okay, now, well, that's another great song. I always like to have a great song to start, you know, to start the Wednesday afternoon. And do you know what, Irene? I'm so unorganized this Wednesday. I don't know. It's a real hump day today. I don't even know what we're talking about today. Do you?
Well, I can tell you about the trip I've just done down from Whangarei this morning. It was very interesting and actually very beautiful as well. Loads and loads and loads of slips everywhere. The Bren Derwins have got one lane only going up, and coming back, they're diverting everybody through Dargaville, etc. And because I know the area quite well, I went, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go down another road. You know me, adventure, adventure. What's the worst that can happen? I have to turn around and go back.
I know, I love that. I don't think anybody ever gets lost. They go on an adventure.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. So I got to the very, very bottom of the Bren Derwins where it's closed and you're not allowed to go. And there's a road that goes off to the right called Paroa Road. And it's 10Ks of gravel road, but it's a reasonably good gravel road, bit of corrugation here, there and everywhere. And you end up coming out about 2 kilometres before, on State Highway 12, about 2 kilometres before you get back to State Highway 1 at the bottom of the Bren Derwins on the northern side. So it was a perfect little trip and dead easy, and nobody was doing it. Everybody was following the detour signs, taking them all the way out to Dargaville, which added another hour to their trip. So I thought, right, you know, I can do this. I thought I'd get there here in 2.5 hours, but it took 3 hours, but that was still cutting half an hour off. But I came out through Helensville, and probably the thing that I really want to say is every single where I went, every single road had slips on it. Everyone.
It's just crazy, isn't it? And you kind of think there's just not enough bodies or people, I shouldn't say bodies, human beings to actually get them all cleaned up in such a quick time as well.
And I know.
And I think stuff's still moving. And I don't think we kind of realise that. And, you know, it is interesting because when you've been affected, you're more aware. But when you haven't been, it's just like, I'm over it, move on. You know, and it's quite interesting to understand people's attitudes. Like, they don't want to take anything away from it, but for them, their little world is, yeah, we just had a bit of rain and that was it. But,
I find it's part of today's society that if it doesn't affect them, then they don't sort of hold concentration on the problem for longer than, you know, the 30 minutes it's on the news sort of thing. But I think what's been happening is a lot of the road that I went through, Paroa Road, there'd been a lot of slips, mainly with the, just the bank coming down onto the road. There were no big, the road hadn't disappeared anywhere. But you could see massive slips where the whole bank had come down onto the road. And I would say that the local farmers and that have all just got out there and ploughed it all over the side to be able to keep their road going.
Absolutely. And that's like the old days, isn't it? That's what we used to do. You know, as I said to someone the other day, it's like walking past a drain that's full of crap and going, well, that's not my job. Well, what if you'd taken the crap out of there? You know, the water would have flowed down. But, easy enough sometimes to just clean up a little bit of stuff. No, it's not your job, but if you've got a broom or something, you know. So many. You're right. There's just not enough people to do it in a very quick way. Yeah.
I tell you one thing that people should be aware of, and I don't want to make a huge rush, you know, with people being greedy and selfish and hoarding things from the supermarket. But the supermarkets and that canned food and things like that, it's not going to be this year because they've got huge stockpiles and huge warehouses. But next year, there's going to be very little of that available on the shelves. So people should be aware of that, and every week maybe just buy 1 or 2 cans more than what they normally do and start getting themselves a stockpile.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And getting, as we've said a whole lot of times on the show, and getting that garden growing, you know. Actually, interestingly, I was reading a little clip in the gosh, what was it, the Herald or something yesterday in regards to a family whānau having a garden. It was like saving them already $60 a week. But yeah. Well, at the moment it's saving them money. You know, as you say, next year they're actually going to be fed with that. Yeah. So it's just little things, I think you're right, whether we just have to change slightly all round, or is it just this year? Who knows?
And, you know, I mean, a lot of people say, well, I don't know how to garden. But honestly, you stick silver beet in the ground, it grows. You really don't have to do anything else.
Who wants silver beet? Ooh, yuck. You'll get muscles. Oh, you'll get iron. You'll be like Popeye. Or is that spinach?
It's so good for you. If you can't get all your canned food and your supermarket food, silver beet will cover it all.
But yeah, there is a lot of stuff we can and we can just grow, and even in a very little area. So, you know, every little bit helps. And if we are going to be paying a lot, which, you know, in reality, we are. So, yeah, just getting ready for it, as you say. Why not? Just think a wee bit ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm having to rethink all my plans and everything too. As you know, I was planning on being down in the South Island for all of April. But this blooming fairy thing that's going on, and I just got a email message today saying that they've cancelled all bookings on the Aotearoa or whatever it is, which is the ferry I was booked on, right up until for another 3 weeks. So all bookings have been cancelled. And, you know, I looked at it and I went, I have these very dear friends who have got a big holiday overseas booked, and I'm going to be looking after their place. And if I go down to the South Island, I might not be able to get back.
Well, I'm sure they'd probably fly you back.
Well, I could, but then all the places down in the South Island have put all their parking and storage stuff. I mean, they've gone from what was $75 up to $250. It's crazy. So, no, I'm going, you know what, South Island, you can forget it. I'm a year overdue going there anyway. I'm going north. I'm going to go north instead. I've got no stress, no hassles going north, and there's a whole pile of the north I haven't explored for ages, so I'm not going to the south anymore, I'm going north.
But isn't it interesting how all these ferries together all of a sudden have got, you know, real big problems? So we're kind of a little bit stuck. I don't know why. Is it maintenance or who?
There's going to be so much more of this, believe me. It's once again, I'm on my hobby horse, it's the greed. People wanting to make that money and put it in their pockets rather than spend the money and keep buying the new things or putting in the new engine or the new brakes or whatever. Oh, we'll just fix it up. It's fine. It's going to cost us $50,000 to do that, but it's only going to cost us $5,000 to do this. So we'll take the cheap way and we'll keep the profits coming in so the shareholders and everybody keep giving us their money, you know. So once again, there's a whole pile of this. It's going to be buses. It's going to be, there is a whole pile of it where they've actually got to the stage where they're saying, nah, we're old. We don't want to work anymore, you know. And they're becoming dangerous.
It won't happen. Maybe it won't happen to all the buses, and maybe it's time for the ships. They'll all go electric. There we go. They don't even need a motor. So as long as the outsides are still stable, you know, the metal body is fine, we'll just have a little electric thing in there and away we'll go again.
Oh, yes. Well, they will probably try that. But if anybody's been out at sea in the middle of an electric storm, I tell you what, if it's an electric boat of any sort, I ain't going on it. And particularly not if there's any bad weather over the top. I ain't going on it.
But interestingly, I suppose that's the way we are heading now with all the electric cars and things coming in. And, whether they're any better, who knows? Certainly maintenance-wise they are, because they don't have half as many parts. I think they have like a quarter.
I know, but they do have a particular problem as soon as there's only 3 or 4 inches of water on the road, because the batteries are underneath those vehicles, and those batteries do not like water. And if you talk to anybody who's got an electric car anywhere down in Napier, Gisborne, they will be telling you that they're getting rid of their car as fast as they can because they still can't use it.
Isn't that interesting? Now, who has not thought about that, that you put the battery maybe just a little bit higher so that it wouldn't get splashed on? Good point.
Well, I don't know how much of this is true because I really don't know anything about electric cars at all, except I do know the battery runs right across the bottom because my daughter's got one and I lay down to have a look at this battery and it's a massive thing that runs right across the bottom. And for some reason, it can't be covered. It can't be made waterproof. You can't cover it. Well, hers wasn't covered. And I said, why isn't it covered? And she said, oh, it's got something to do with the efficiency of the battery or something, you know. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm just repeating. But I know that down in the South Island, I just had a phone call from my girlfriend that I was staying with when I was caught down there in Hastings. And she said, it's really amazing all the electric cars that are getting broken into and stripped because they're all on the side of the roads where they parked up and they still haven't been able to get them going. And so people are, you know, burglarizing them and doing stuff to them. And she said, she was going on about how people are so miserable that they do that sort of thing when there's this sort of crisis going on. But it just interested me that those electric cars are still sitting there.
Yeah, gosh, isn't it? Wow. But it's something I never really thought of, actually, electric cars and weather. But certainly someone must have thought about that, or they've now got to think about it, because otherwise, you're right, we're just going to go backwards again and everybody's going to go back to...
It's a bit like the bus and the train services up in Auckland. They work so hard to get everybody to be using them instead of their cars. And now they've had so much buses and trains that are no longer operating, times are cut, all the rest of it, and people have just gone, we're over this, and they're all back to their cars, the whole lot. So it's like we've gone back 10 years in the transport system in Auckland. And the other thing that sort of gets me is these batteries that you have in these electric cars, they don't last very long. And the price of a new battery is just about the same price as a new car.
Interestingly, yes. Now, isn't that interesting? Because I remember when we got solar, we held off for quite a while until the technology got better. And then so finally and I'm sure ever since we've had it, the technology's probably moved on as well. And I think that could be the same with these cars, that technology has to move on. You're right. You don't want to be changing it and you don't want to be paying. You know, it's like buying a cheap printer, eh? You get the cheap printer, but the ink is by it. That's a whole lot. So you want it to last. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, they haven't got that technology sorted out yet because there was a big conversation going on in Michelle's household the other day about that. And, I just think that there needs to be a lot more thought and technology before everybody starts committing themselves down that path. I really do.
Yeah, and I mean, it moves on. I suppose it's all, funding and getting it moving and learning new things of how things work and how long they last and, you know, all of that stuff. But, yeah.
I tell you another point that somebody brought up that I hadn't thought of, and once again, I don't know how true this is or not, but apparently how in Africa they... We have this thing where all these kids and the poor African people are looking for that particular mineral or metal that we need for our cell phones. And there's quite a roaring trade going on in this stuff, and these people are being treated quite badly and get a pittance for the work that they do. Well, apparently these electric batteries use the same stuff.
Oh, well, there you go. I didn't know anything about that. We might just have to have a wee little dive in there and have a look and see what's going on there. But you're right, the stuff has to come from somewhere. And, yeah, that's, it'd be pretty awful to know that people have been exploited just for that. Yeah, well, maybe some of our listeners out there know something about this and have got a, maybe a link or something they can add onto the Facebook page. Or maybe we'll have a little tinkle in there as well and see, well, while we're all trying to do better, actually who's losing out. Well, I think that's probably all we've got time for today. Well, that was probably... not bad, since we didn't know what we were going to talk about. There we go. We've prattled on. And so I hope you've joined the conversation with us. But we'll see you the same time at same place next week.
Delaquo Communication, delaquo.co.nz.